All right, we're back. It is Marks and Reese on a Football Friday. And joining us right now, Ike, I guess the last time we talked to him was at the Super Bowl. The leading up, and we had a good conversation. And Tiki, you felt like that he was rooting for the Eagles, but he couldn't admit it because he's a giant. But Tiki Barber of now he's doing stuff with Fox, but obviously the Tiki and Tierney show on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Teek?
All's good, man. You know, I can't say who I was rooting for, but I was happy for the Eagles to finally get that that monkey off their back and get a championship. It was I liked Jeffrey Lurie. So many of my adversaries, including the guy sitting next to you, I respect him. I was glad to see it happen, man. It really was.
Yeah, see, you got a mutual respect society going on right here. We know
it. NFC East.
And plus, Tiki, now we're long from being on the field, we're off the field and somewhat in the same business of covering the sport of football, man. And you're going to be on the sideline. First of all, tell me, how did you arrive at this point that where you're on the sidelines covering games? Not only that, but your brother is up in the booth calling the games, man. How did this come about?
Yeah, it's actually really cool. So last year, Fox wanted to try something unique, and they did it with a couple of different games. Remember Jason Witten was on, not Jason Witten, Greg Olson was on the sideline in one game. And so they approached us about having me in the booth with Rondé, and it made sense because the Giants were going down to Tampa to play the Bucks. So it was just kind of a cool coincidence, right? So we did it, and it was fun, but it was kind of awkward in a sense as well because we were both standing next to each other. Our voices, our cadences are very similar. So unless we were on air or on camera, you couldn't really tell the difference. So I guess serendipitously, or whatever, opportunistically, I guess is a better word, Rondé's sideline reporter, Christina Pink, moved up to the number one crew to be the co-sideline with Aaron Andrews. And that left an opening in their sideline. And so they're filling it piecemeal this offseason. And Rondé calls me and is like, you know, how about we try this? You know, I really want an analyst on the sideline. You know, not any disrespect to traditional sideline reporters, but I'd love to get a perspective from someone who can stand down there and we can talk the same language. And so we said, all right, let's try it. And we did it last week for the Giants game, and it went well. They gave me a hat that had a cap with a camera on it so I could see a field level, what it was like behind the offensive line or in the end zone. And so we're continuing again this weekend down in Tampa at the Philadelphia Eagles, the world champion Philadelphia Eagles, I'll add, come to town.
I was just going to say, how's this fair that we have Rondé, who broke my heart in 2002, and then you, who were thorn in my side for many years, but now that you're speaking, you just said world champion Philadelphia Eagles.
So
I guess
cool.
We can let it slide.
Cool, yeah.
We can let it slide.
Dude, I've been retired longer than I played now. So I mean,
it's true.
I say the same thing, Tiki. I'm like, yeah, I've been out of the game longer than when I actually played. So, yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, man. Exactly. All right, Teek, what do you think about this matchup? Let me actually start with the Buccaneers. Who saw that coming last week? But you think about it, skill position guys. And listen, when Ryan Fitzpatrick wants to look good or he looks good, he normally looks good. I don't think anybody was expecting that, but what do you think week two? I mean, coming back, do you expect that kind of success week two again?
Hey, man, don't get fooled. You've seen this before. You've seen this rodeo with Ryan Fitzpatrick before. So don't get fooled. You know, look, he can be good in spots. And I think what happened last weekend is that Dennis Allen, who's the defensive coordinator down in New Orleans, had no idea what to expect from this offense. You guys remember D-Jack goes down there to Tampa, and it's like, all right, Jameis is going to be able to open it up. But they could never connect, right? Either it was too short a throw or it was too long a throw. That wide open down the field offense just wasn't clicking last season. But it was still there, right? D-Jack is, even though he's older, he's still got, you know, speed. And Mike Evans also has a ton of ability to run past DBs and stuff. And what Ryan Fitzpatrick did was take advantage of these cover three schemes that the Saints were playing just to be safe, right? You run through, you know, one through one zone and, you know, through the other zone and, you know, pull off the corner on the third zone. And all of a sudden you got wide open players that Ryan Fitzpatrick hit. I think now, as you look into week two, they can't get away with it, right? Because we know that they can do it. The question will be, can they run the ball with that other Barber, not related, Peyton Barber, who rushed for like 69 yards or 70 yards last weekend, but it was really inefficient, about 3.5 yards per carry. They're going to have to get more balance in order to continue to put up 40-something points every week.
Yeah, and we know that's kind of – it's almost ridiculous to ask that offense to do that again, especially against this caliber of defense the Eagles have, Tiki. When you look at the Eagles' offense, right, going up against this Tampa defense, kind of similar to what they went up against last week in the Atlanta defense, in the sense that they rely on speed, right? They got a bunch of athletes there, especially at the linebacker position, that can run with running backs and tight ends. The Eagles, in my opinion, have looked to they've struggled with explosive plays, right? They struggled with getting plays over 15, 20 yards. Through the preseason and last week. How do you see this Eagles offense sort of moving the ball against that Bucs defense?
Well, I'll give credit to my – I guess not credit, but I'll give hope to my former college quarterback, Mike Groh, who's now your offensive coordinator. Mm. He's got to slow it down. Right? He's got to pull it back and rely on Jay Ajayi to get tough yardage going forward, because if you get into a shootout, I'm not sure that the offense right now, Philadelphia, is capable – of doing what the Saints did, which was almost keep up, scoring 40 points in a losing effort last weekend. But it's because of injuries, right? You see the Alshon Jeffrey injuries. You guys know the stories with the wide receivers that are currently with the Philadelphia Eagles. You guys are banged up, and with Nick Foles not playing, you know, top end ball right now, it's got to be an old school type a way to bang your way into a win. But that being said, though, if you look at the other side, the Buccaneers are banged up, too. I mean, Hargraves is down for the year with a shoulder issue. JPP has a bulky knee, so who knows how effective he's going to be. So it's kind of like a mash unit game this weekend, as both of these teams have issues on both sides of the ball.
As every game you guys cover, you guys always look for a storyline to sort of hone in on at some point in the game. I would imagine Nick's success will be something you guys touch on. Just your thoughts on Nick Foles as a player, and how do you sort of see him? We go back and forth in this city, Tiki, as to where he should rank and how good he is as a quarterback. Where do you see Nick Foles at when you watch him play?
Hey, man, Big Richard. Nick Foles, man, you gotta love that. Look, he's a champion, and he's revered because of that championship. But we know this story about Nick Foles. Sometimes he's fantastic; he can have a perfect rating on a Sunday. And other times he can't hit the broadside of the barn. But interestingly, regardless of which Nick Foles you get, he usually wins. Right? So there's something about his leadership style, or something about his resiliency that is that's winning football. A lot of that is because of the defense that the Eagles have, and as you mentioned earlier, Ike. I mean, you're just not going to walk through or run through this team, as we saw last week with the Atlanta Falcons. You know, getting down there on their first drive, it's like, it's going to be a trouble for the Eagles this year, and you stone them four straight plays in a row. That's the MO of the Philadelphia Eagles, and so for me, as I look at Nick, I say he's the serviceable guy that if you put him in the right situation, he's going to excel for you. But that inconsistency is what sometimes is frustrating, I'm sure. But as long as he's winning, I guess it doesn't matter, right?
No, that's true. That's for certain.
Yeah, we're talking to Tiki Barber, who will be the sideline analyst. His brother Rondé will be in the booth with Kenny Albert for the Eagles and the Buccaneers on Sunday. I mean, Tiki, you look at Nick Foles and Doug Peterson, you can't rely on trick plays every week. And I know Carson Wentz is going to be coming back soon, but I feel like if you're relying on that trick play to get you going or get a score, it's going to be the end. So how does Doug get him going? We've seen him do it before with some pace, has a faster pace with the RPOs. How would you get Nick going?
Yeah, I mean, that is the way to do it. You give a quarterback options at the line of scrimmage. And Nick's been around long enough to know what he's looking at. So when he gets a coverage or something that he doesn't feel like is working with the play, if he has the option to get out and do something that's more effective or efficient, that is certainly a way to do it. We've seen this in the college ranks. Heck, I see it in high school. My son's playing high school, and they play this paced, you know, RPO-type offense. It's 16, 17 years old. It's made its way into college. You see it every single week, and now it's in the National Football League. It's really hard for defenses to adjust when they're going so fast, right? And so if that's what you have to do, even if you're doing that and running the ball, I think that's an effective strategy, or can be effective strategy, especially if you feel like your team is conditioned enough to do it. Unlike last week, as you guys witnessed, The weather conditions are going to be a factor in Tampa. It's supposed to be 92 or 93 degrees down there. It's going to be hot and humid. It always rains down there, so the humidity is going to be high at this time of year. And so if there's an advantage to be gained by moving quickly, then that's definitely a strategy to employ.
All right, there he is, Tiki Barber. Tiki, we're going down. A big group of fans is going down for a trip with the station. So if you hear people screaming at you, don't blame me. All right, it will not be me.
I always get the most interesting comments from the Philadelphia Eagles fans. I was down there, I can't remember what it was, a few years ago, and this guy was like, I want to boo you, but my kids love your books, so boo yay!
Sounds like an Eagle fan.
I was like, all right, I'm as confused as you are, I think.
All right, Tiki, thanks as always, man, and we'll talk to you.
And I tell you, Tiki, they only boo you because they respect how great of a player you were,
that's
man.
That's true.
Yep, that's right. I appreciate you. Be good, brother.